Okay, we're in Heavenly Places again, page 80, if you got the book. It's on the date March 14th, because that's today. And the title is The Spirit's Intercession. Should be a good one. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And I had a friend of mine I lost many, many years ago. Used to come in here as Sabbath Keeper with all capital letters when we had the original chat room. Well, actually, before we even had the chat room. And he had that problem. I mean, he was on the same page with us on everything except for he thought he had a heavenly language with the tongues thing. And the Bible's pretty clear about tongues being the language of the person that you need to speak to. It's anyway, this is different here. They will use this sometimes to declare a heavenly language when, in fact, all this is... I mean, how many of us have done this? You're praying, and you just can't come up with the words. And you're just hurting on the inside. You're being bothered in a big way. You're down in your spirits because something's happening in life, and you really don't know how to explain how you feel and to explain how much this bothers you. You're groaning in the spirit. Your Father knows. And so... don't worry about it. Romans 8:26. When you can't come up with the words, the Spirit knows exactly what's going on. So she goes on. She goes, we must not only pray in Christ's name, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This explains what is meant when it's said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Such prayer God delights to answer. When with earnestness and intensity we breathe a prayer in the name of Christ, there is in that very intensity a pledge from God that he is about to answer our prayer, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And why does he do that? He certainly does do that sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it takes, it could be a couple, 3 years before a prayer gets answered, and it's fine. And when he answers it, sometimes it's like way overboard he'll answer. It's like, wow, it's, not only does it come out of left field sometimes, it's like you prayed for something and he gave you something that was so much better. And it's just like, wow, he really does that. And you have to do it once or twice in a lifetime. You don't, it's not something you need all the time. The Father knows what you need. And we got to remember not to have that spirit of wanting, like when you want things that he hasn't given. But she goes on to say that the Holy Spirit will be given to those who seek for its power and grace and will help our infirmities when we would have an audience with God. Heaven is about, or rather is open to our petitions. And we are invited to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And boldly isn't saying, you come up there shaking your finger at God and saying, you better do this, you better do that. That's not what she's saying here. Neither is the scripture saying that in Hebrews. It means we can have absolute confidence, overwhelmingly understand in our hearts that we have every right to come up to the throne of grace, because he is our Father and we are his children. And so we can boldly come with all the confidence of coming up to a best friend that you've ever, like, how many of you, like your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, whatever, your best friend, co-worker, whatever. You just know you can just come up to them with no problem whatsoever. Well, not only is our Father like that, he's overwhelmingly much, much better than that. You can't even put it on a same scale. So she says, we are to come in faith, believing that we shall obtain the very things we ask of him. And I always like to use the analogy of walking into a bank, because when I was on the street, a lot of people had a problem with money. And so I used to have a tendency, because I saw how Jesus taught in his day. He would use stories about fishing and fishermen, because he was talking to mostly fishermen at the time. And so a lot of the people, like the homeless people that I would be talking to or sharing with, I would bring up the analogy of walking into a bank that's empty. And standing with your hand open, flat open, just waiting for someone to put money in your hand. But the bank is empty. There's no one in there. There's not even any money in there. And it says you're doing the same exact thing when you stand before the throne of God and he's not on his throne. And what I mean by that is you don't believe he's there. It's like walking into an empty bank. How fast do you think your hand's going to fill up? How fast do you think he's going to answer your prayer if you don't even think he's there to begin with? If you don't think he's there for you, then he's not. He's giving you free will even there. That's where faith comes in. Took me a while to learn that one, I got to tell you. So she goes on. We may commit Yeah, we may commit the keeping of our souls to God as unto a faithful Creator, not because we are sinless, but because Jesus died to save just such erring, faulty creatures as we are, thus expressing his estimate of the value of the human soul. We may rest upon God, not because of our own merit, but because the righteousness of Christ will be imputed to us, because we all know our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I mean, even Joshua is standing there. The devil wants to tempt him. The Lord tells the angel, take off his filthy garments and put on the good ones. And it was nothing Joshua did to gain that. It was because of what Christ did. It is Christ our righteousness, and it's always what it's been, and it's always going to be that way, even in eternity, you know, when we get home. And this is one of the reasons we go through the trials we do, because he's going to need us to share this truth with others on the other worlds. We know about the other worlds that Paul speaks about, and, of course, Sister White speaks about. And it always amazes me when I think of atheists or evolutionists or, well, I mean, like some of these Hollywood types that get up there and claim there is no God, and they won't even take the title atheist. They'll just say they don't want anything to do with anything. And I'm thinking, have you ever looked up in the night sky? I says, yeah, well, if you're hanging around in the city your whole life, you look up and you might see the moon once in a while, but you're not going to see many stars. Come out in my neck of the woods. There's so many stars, it looks like a cloud. And just stay there for a while and just look up. You mean to tell me that this is the only planet in the entire universe, or just our galaxy, let's say, that has life on it? That's pretty conceited. It's pretty vain to think that we're it. And plus, when we go to heaven, it says we're going to reign with Christ. What, over each other? That makes no sense at all. If we're all going to be going to heaven, how is it that I'm reigning over you while you're reigning over me? That means someone else is involved here, right? It's those people on those other worlds. They haven't seen what we have seen. They haven't been educated the way we have been educated. They haven't been tested the way we have been tested. Granted, they did not eat of the fruit like Eve did, but they don't, and so they don't know the difference between good and evil. And it's not that we're going to educate them there. It's just that we're going to, I don't know, actually, to be honest with you, I really don't know what we're going to be doing. Other than, the only thing I can think of in my own private opinion would be, you know, glorifying Christ. Letting them know, even them, even those people that have never even been conscious of sin. Hold on. I don't know how many times I got to ask, but I guess, you know, never mind. I'm not going to go into it. So, all right. So we may rest upon, let me say, I was just distracted here. So we may rest upon God, not because of our own merit, but because of the righteousness. Yeah, amen. So it's Christ our righteousness, period. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been. So she goes on to say that there are rich promises for us in the Word of God. The plan of salvation is ample. It is no narrow, limited provision that has been made for us. We are not obliged to trust in the evidence that we had a year or a month ago. But we may have the assurance of today, or the assurance today that Jesus lives and is making intercession for us. God does not leave his erring children who are weak in the faith and who make mistakes. The Lord hearkens and hears their prayer and their testimony. Those who look unto Jesus day by day and hour by hour, who watch unto prayer, are drawing nigh to Jesus. Angels with wings outspread wait to bear their contrite prayers to God and to register them in the books of heaven. Pretty neat, huh? Amen and amen. Okay. Oh, let me close here.